Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 468, Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 10, Thunder Returns Part 1.
Nope, Return of Thunder.
Return of Thunder! Darn it. Part 1.
It aired April 12, 2003, written by Doug Sloan, directed by Wayne Rose. That is a new name.
Wayne Rose. That's Wayne Rose. A professional wrestler.
That Wayne Rose is a pro wrestler or a guy who definitely directed westerns at one point.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Not even a question. And if you're new here, we have never directed a western, unfortunately for us.
Yet.
Give it time. But if you are new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along. If you have Netflix or the DVDs, then you should, because Ninja Storm kicks ass. So you might want to watch that for you, because it's fun.
If you want,
I mean, if you want
to watch like a fun TV show, and not any of the sad, dreary ones that seem to be all
extremely
of them.
Popular. Yeah,
or like a documentary about a cat guy. I don't know.
God,
I don't know what that's about.
I muted the phrase Tiger King because I'm so sick of hearing about the Cat Guy documentary.
All I know is Cat Guy got mullet. That's all I know.
Cat Guy looks like if Michael P.S. Hayes did meth.
And that's pretty rough because I don't know if you've seen Michael P.S. Hayes, but that dude probably does meth.
He doesn't look like he has never done meth. I'm not saying he does or did or has ever done meth, but I'm saying he looks like the possibility is there. And Tiger Man looks like he definitely does meth. And I don't want to hear about him anymore. And I just don't care. It's all anyone ever talked about for like a week and a half.
I don't know how I missed it.
You're lucky. You're one of the lucky ones.
Like, it's because I look at like trending stuff on Twitter. That's how I get my news.
You didn't see it? It was the only thing. It had to have been trending. It's the only thing I saw.
I've just been starting to see it like over the weekend into now.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
One of the lucky ones.
Because I feel like these trending topics also are like kind of algorithmed.
Oh, for sure.
You
can go in and turn off. I don't even know why we're talking about this. We have to, Josh, we got work to do. We got to get to it. We got four episodes this week. No more jokes.
We're at our job.
Yeah, we can't just talk about Tiger King, which I don't want to do anyway. The point is, you can watch along for a fun thing. If you're looking for a different fun thing, I also suggest the anime Haikyuu, which is about very good volleyball boys. Has nothing to do with Power Rangers, but it's really good, and I like it a lot. So maybe you should check that out.
Haikyuu sounds like a football high school.
Well, it's Haikyuu, like Haikyuu. It's Japanese for volleyball, I think.
So it's just called volleyball?
It's just called volleyball, baby.
There's a charm to that. I like that.
Yeah, it's all you need to know. There was just a last year or the year before, there was a baseball show called Pitch. So like... That's a little less on the nose than just calling it baseball.
Man, I can't wait to watch baseball tonight. The sport or the show?
The baseball show. Anyway, Haikyuu is very good. Everyone should check it out. So is Ninja Storm. And let's go watch Return of Thunder Part 1.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form.
And we're back, and we just watched Return of Thunder, Part 1. Do you remember how two episodes ago, they're like, we're leaving, and we'll be back at some point, because we have unfinished business. Well, the Thunder Rangers just kind of come back in this one, and I don't know what that unfinished business might be or was, or why they left.
I have, like, an idea, but also none at all. I don't know. It's weird.
This episode seems like... And we will talk about it, obviously. This episode definitely seems like they were like, you know what was really popular with Mighty Morphin? Was Green with Evil. What if Green with Evil, but two of them?
Because
There's still kind of like a romance angle.
Crimson, Crimson, a navy of evil.
Oh, you know that popular phrase, I'm just so green with envy. That's where green with evil comes from.
Right.
So is there something like that with crimson and navy? I bet not.
I feel like that's too specific. Once you get past the primaries, I think all those sayings go out the window.
I think so. Once you get out of the Crayola 8, you kind of got to get fancy with it. HeyJakeandJosh.com, that's the website. You can go there. You can listen to old episodes of the podcast up through Lost Galaxy. You can also find our classic feeds, which are, we have two of them, More From Great Classic Volume 1 and 2, as you might expect. Updated up through Terp right now. Maybe by the time this airs, it'll be updated up through In Space, and there might be a third one. We're playing it by ear.
Yeah, because you said Lightspeed started dropping off, right?
Yeah, first couple episodes, Lightspeed started dropping off.
So I might just throw that in there.
So go check. Just go see what's up. Go see what's going on over there. Go have fun with it.
Yeah, because by the time this goes out, I will probably have self-quarantined myself and have some time.
You got that fancy new computer? Got to break it in. Got to break it in somehow.
It's pretty broken, I think.
Well, you can, I don't know, pull a little English on that computer.
I do miss having real Photoshop, though, because, man, GIMP does not cut it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to spend $20 a month on Photoshop.
I already spend $20 a month for Illustrator because I need that one. And I'm just going to have to recreate our album art in Illustrator so that I can edit it.
Use it that way.
Properly, because I had to boot my old laptop up to make the Ninja Storm album art because I could not do it in GIMP. It was not working.
Yeah.
Because, oh man, let me get like super nerdy about Photoshop for a minute. So,
okay.
So there's like just a layer mask, which is like, if I have an image on one layer and I, like, for example, fill the layer above it and I make a layer mask, it'll clip the fill so it's just inside the image below it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's how I colored in the Thunderbolt with that yellow gradient.
Yeah.
GIMP doesn't have that, or if it does, like, I couldn't figure out how to do it. Because in Photoshop, you just hold Alt and click between the layers and it just does it. And in GIMP, I was Googling for like half an hour and I was watching all these tutorials. I was like, none of this is actually working. It's crazy that they just like didn't make that a feature.
Another thing about GIMP is that it has a very embarrassing name.
Yeah.
Why do they keep calling it that in the year of our Lord 2020?
I don't know. It stands for something, but it's like, hey, you can change that.
Yeah, you can find new words for it to stand for and rebrand. So people aren't like, I use GIMP to do my thing. I do my left foot in GIMP. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. GIMP, you're fired. I'm going to find another Photoshop alternative.
Where was I? You can email us at littleidiots.morphinggrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @morphinggrid. We're on Save Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife. We're on Podbay. We're on Podbay V. We're on Return of the Pod Thunder. Remember Pod Thunder, that old service that everyone used and everyone loved and used and then disappeared because it's fake and doesn't exist? It's back, baby. Return of the Pod Thunder's back. And
Pod of Thunder. That was even better than Return of Thunder.
I think so.
It was right.
It rhymes. It rhymed. Is Pod of Thunder? I have two questions about Pod of Thunder.
It's a Kiss,
I
guess I have one. It's a Kiss fan cast.
Is it okay? I was gonna say, is it a Kiss fan cast or is it a meteorological podcast?
It's a fan cast about the demon WCW wrestling superstar.
You talking about Del Torgo?
Who I think came out in a coffin and his theme song was God of Thunder.
Uh huh. They spent a lot of money on Dale Torgo.
I
to
have
get him to be Kiss Demon.
I don't know if I still have it because it was worthless, but I had an autographed picture of the demon. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they just sent him by mail to everyone. They had that Ted Turner money. They could do whatever they wanted.
Yeah, you know, you get your coupon books and your sales papers for your local grocery store and your The Demon autographed photo.
An autographed picture of the Kiss Demon from WCW. Circa 2000? Which is way after Kiss's lifespan was sort of... I mean, they're still probably doing stuff.
I think
stuff.
That was peak farewell tour Kiss.
Okay, that makes sense. Anyway... Go to those places and leave us a rating review. Apparently, you can leave reviews on Pod Addict now, which is a podcatcher that a lot of people use. So do that. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show. You get some neat stuff in return. Every month we have this so far. Every month in 2020, we have put up a bonus episode. It is halfway through April. We have yet to record it. Doesn't mean it won't happen. It will not happen today, but it will probably happen next week. So go check there for those. We did a WrestleMania. I don't even know what to call it. It was a bit I was trying to do that Josh refused to play along with, and so I kind of had to swim upstream on that one.
That's a fun one. You guys should check it out.
It's fun when one of us does not buy into the premise, and the other one's just sad about that. It's okay. The Firefly Funhouse surpassed my every expectation anyway, so...
Yeah, I finally finished WrestleMania. It took me, like, a week.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I didn't watch it live, I also probably would still be watching it.
It's pretty good. I'm disappointed in two things.
What are they?
Edge's first match back was in dead silence.
Yep,
and Drew McIntyre beating Brock Lesnar clean for the WWE Championship was in dead silence.
Yep. Do you know what the worst part about the Brock Lesnar match, the Drew McIntyre Brock Lesnar match is? It is functionally exactly the same, like down to the number of moves from the Braun Strowman Goldberg match from the night before.
Yeah, I.
Why would they do it twice?
Because they have two guys who have the same gimmick, do two moves over and over again until the match is over. That's yeah. Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. And the only way to beat them is to hit them with your finisher as much as possible.
45 times, I guess.
Which sucks because I know Drew McIntyre is like a good wrestler. So the fact that all he did was Claymore kicks at WrestleMania kind of sucks.
Yeah. I don't know if that one might have been a better match in front of people, but at least it would have been louder at the end.
The moment at the end would have been better, because I think they would have booed Braun Strowman.
I think so. But then again, if there would have been a WrestleMania, there wouldn't have been this whole quarantine thing, and Braun wouldn't have come out with the terrible stance of, have you tried not being poor indie wrestlers who all of your dates are booked, have been canceled? Which sucks, Braun. Anyway... The Edge match was good. I think that them doing a last man standing, I think it was 20 minutes too long, but I think them doing that where they weren't out in front of nobody made it a lot better than if it was just a regular match in front of nobody.
This WrestleMania is a weird double-edged sword in that the regular matches were all a little weird because of no audience.
Yeah.
But the Firefly Funhouse and the Boneyard match...
Kicked ass.
Are almost worth it.
Yeah. The Boneyard match. Also, both those matches, you know what they have? Background music, which is what the rest of the matches could have used.
Yep.
Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley was disturbingly quiet. And it was a good match.
There would have just been
something behind it instead of just breathy grabs and stepping sounds.
Just imagine Charlotte spears Rhea Ripley and all you hear is, Socko.
is
cooking
diggity dog. They got the No Mercy music is all we're saying. patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. Thank you very much. We appreciate your support. Josh, we have so many of these to air this week, so let's just jump in.
All right.
Okay, we start off with Tori and Dustin watching Dustin do bike stunts on a VHS.
A VHS tape. Recorded on somebody's Nokia cell phone, I think. It looked really bad.
I think it's on a some sort of big Sony Handycam.
It's one of those
before they were handheld.
It's one of those old big Handycams that you had to hand crank as you were recording.
They rested on your shoulder like you're a TV producer.
There's teenagers listening that think that's real. That's not real. We made that up. There's no hand crank Handycam.
I mean, there are statistically, if there are teenagers listening, they don't even know what actual cameras are, because as long as they've been alive, there's been one in your phone, a pretty good one in your phone compared to the big old I forget what Jake's first good one was. It used Hi8 tapes, which were little. And we had to do some weird conversions to get them onto his Dell laptop to edit them.
When I was taking broadcasting in college, we recorded on Hi8.
Yeah, I have a weird fondness for little tapes because of that. So they're watching it. They're like, yeah, these are cool stunts. Tori's like, yeah, that's cool. Like, good stuff, Dustin. I forget exactly what they're talking about. But then some guy comes in. He's like, hey, I'm looking for Kelly Kapowski. I didn't catch Kelly's last name. He said it, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
what
they're
it was.
Talking about how fast Dustin goes. And he's like, yeah, I just need to get the attention of a factory rep. And at first, I thought I heard that wrong. But then this guy comes in, and Dustin's like, you work for factory whatever it is.
Factory Blue, I think he said.
And the guy's now, like, yeah. And Dustin's like, let me give you my mixtape.
And he's like, I don't want to hear your demo, kid.
And he's like, I'll listen to it when you've gone.
There is a bar. I watched the LMFAO music video for Party Rock Anthem last night, as I am wont to do on occasion, because the song rules. And there's a part where Malcolm Goodwin's character in the music video is trying to get him to put in headphones so they don't hear the Party Rock Anthem, so they don't get possessed and turned into Party Rock zombies. And he's like, put him in. And he literally just goes, I don't want to hear your demo right now. it's very funny. Also, Party Rock Anthem rules. Certified all-time banger. That song should go in the Smithsonian. It's so good. So his name is Roger Hanna. And first, I was like, is this a dirt bike guy that they cast in this role? And I don't know the answer.
I thought
he looks like this guy could run a dirt bike company.
Yeah, and Dustin goes off about him like it is someone we should know.
He's a 5-time champion. He's won a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he's like he's won more world champions than anybody. And what was his name? Daryl?
Roger.
Roger.
It's not Dill.
I said Daryl.
Oh, well, there was a guy named Dill in episode 3. That was the surfer boy that was making eyes at Tori.
I remember Dill.
So Dill.
Yeah,
oh, gosh,
Roger's like, well, that might be an exaggeration.
He's like, anyway, here's my mixtape. He's like, no, I don't want that. Thank you. And he's like, actually, I'm looking for two guys who ride on a local track here that are really, really good. Two different guys from you. And Dustin's like, oh, Blake and Hunter? He's like, yeah, that's them. Where are they? How can I get a hold of them? And Tori's like, I wish I knew, bud. And he's like, oh, okay, well, let them know that I'm looking for them if you see them. And Dustin's like, oh, we wish we did know, because like Tori's got this real thing. And she's like, Dustin, not now.
Yeah.
Not in front of Roger Hanna, 5-time motocross champion.
She stares him in the eyes and she's like, you want to go there?
Do you want to do this? You don't want to do this.
And Dustin doesn't want to do that.
And he does not. So Roger's like, well, I'm going to go now because I don't want you, Dustin. I want two good racers. It's not what he says, but I feel like it's what he's thinking.
It's definitely implied.
So he walks away, and then Dustin like puts his tape down and looks back over at Tori, and she's gone across the room. She just stepped really quick, and she's like grabbing at Dustin's big bike, and she's like, "Hey, I'm gonna." He's like, "Hey, quick cue for you, Tori, my friend. What are you doing?" She's like, "I'm gonna take the bike, and I'm gonna go do a race with it." He's like, "Well, normally." What would happen is you would ask me that because it's my bike. And then after half a second, I would tell you, no, this is my baby.
I cannot do that. He's like, and I just like fixed it up and tuned it.
Yeah, it's perfect for me. And so no. And she's like, but I miss Blake. And when I am racing on a motocross bike, I feel like he's around. And Dustin's like, I give in. You can race it.
Can I ask this question?
Yes.
We saw Blake and Tori be like a little flirty.
Uh-huh.
But does the little bit of flirtiness that they had back and forth, does it warrant this kind of, I miss him so much I have to ride dirt bikes to keep his memory alive? It seems a little bit much.
They're teenagers.
Then I thought, wait a minute.
They're teens.
Let's say they're 17. Let's give them the BOTD.
I assume this is the summer before their senior year. So they are 16, 17, yeah.
When I was in my 15 to 17s, right. If a girl like said hi to me and we talked for like 2 sentences, I was in love with her. And would think about her all the time. So
yes, a common occurrence amongst boys that age, I would say.
I never rode dirt bikes about it, but I never rode dirt bikes anyway.
But what if she rode dirt bikes about it, and then you were like, I want to be close to her. I want to think of her. I will get on. Yes, father, I will become a motocross.
Well, we would be. I would be in the X Games now.
You missed your calling then, Josh.
If only a dirt bike girl would have talked to me.
Look, if a dirt bike girl would have talked to me, I would never, like, I don't, I would, I don't know what I would have done. I have no idea. I spent too long on Facebook last night, because I just went on there for like 1 second to just see if anyone I know died or anything. It's all I use Facebook for at this point. And then I accidentally went down a rabbit hole looking up a bunch of people I went to high school with and how they're all like happy now. And that sucks for me mostly. And then I came across this girl who was a year above me, and I was like, oh, that's where my type started, is with her. She was in a band. She was mean and all. And I, so like, I, same Tori. I get it. I understand. So he's like, all right, you can go race with this because you miss Blake. But if you like bend the bars or you break the shifter, you're going to fix it. And she's like, yeah, I'll fix it. I know. I feel like this is mostly a, you're going to pay to fix it because I'm going to do most of the supervising because you are a surfer and not a motocrosser by trade.
I also, real quick, because I don't know if we're going to see it again, want to talk about Tori's denim mermaid dress.
It is amazing, and I will not hear a bad word about it, Josh.
No, it looks great. But I was thinking, I was like, you can't dirt bike in that, but she's not going. She's going to wear dirt bike gear anyway.
And she's going to put on that cool dirt bike armor that everyone – it's the coolest part of dirt biking, right?
Yeah,
is the dirt bike armor you get to wear?
You're like a dirt bike knight.
You get to be a dirt bike knight? Hey, y'all, why isn't dirt bike jousting a thing? Where are the medieval X Games is what I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sure if you just search on YouTube for dirt bike
jousting. I don't want to watch two fucking Finns from Ringe, New Hampshire out in the boonies mudding, just jousting on their dirt bikes. I don't want that.
You want it
I
to
want
be an official
Travis
X-game.
Pastrana and any other motocrosser.
Corey Hart is the only other one I know.
I couldn't name a single other one gun to my head. So Corey Hart, I want to watch them dirt bike joust. I want professionals to do this.
They're modern day knights, dirt bikers, is what we're saying.
Yes.
And they need to slay modern day dragons.
Uh-huh.
And joust each other.
Yes.
Hey, what if instead of a Ren Fair, it's like a Ren Fair, but everyone's on dirt bikes?
What if Ren Fair, but X Games aesthetics?
Yeah.
You just treat X Games, let's call it dirt punk. It's not steampunk. It's dirt punk.
Yes.
I think we are on to something, Josh.
It's I can't quite grab it, but I can like... I can reach
you know
for it.
It. You can feel it in your heart.
It's floating around right here. I just can't get my hands on it yet.
It's there. We cut to Blake and Hunter in the desert, just being there. And they're like, when's he going to show up? And then in teleports Jubo. Jubo's name is Chubo with like a ch sound, turns out, according to the Netflix description.
Yeah, like as in I choose you.
Yes. Can I tell you the amount of times I heard them say Chubo? Zero.
I was going to say it's probably in or around the zero ballpark.
There is a part coming up where they will say his name. Every single character in the room says his name like six times. Every single time I heard Jubo. Not once did I hear Chubo, so I'm not going to call him that because I think that is a trick that someone is trying to play on me.
Until someone calls him Chubes.
Chubes, choo-choo train.
Sup, Chubes.
Chubes. So he teleports in and then falls down the hill, the desert hill, because he sucks.
He teleports in, he lands on his feet, but he goes, oh, the sand's hot, and just tumbles down the hill.
Now I'll get it on my whole body. It'll be better this way.
Multiple times in the episode, he ends up face down squirming. Like he's like a turtle stuck on their back, but he's on his tummy.
Well, yeah, I mean... that actually makes less sense, but he does have that big backpack, so I imagine if he fell on his back, he would be stuck there, because he'd be on like this little elevated platform that he can't get off of. But I also imagine that the actual physical backpack is made of foam, and so if he were to land on it,
it would
shatter.
Just squish.
Yeah, and
it's like
it
a wrestling trash can.
Yeah, exactly. It's made of tin foil. It's like three layers of tin foil wrapped around a trash can that they then like slide out. Like it's a koozie, and then you hit Raven with it.
Oh, that's so Raven.
How did that never happen? Hi, friends. If you like professional wrestling and do have a Photoshop at your disposal, if you just want to make a That's So Raven picture, but it's not Raven Simone, it is Scott Levy, the professional wrestler Raven, I would love that. Thank you in advance. Chubo's like, I'm defecting. I'm bitter and I hate my job because everyone is mean and I don't want to be there anymore. And they're like, why would we trust you? And he's like, because I'm going to give you all the cool passwords to get in. And he's like, they're like, okay.
Yeah, it's weird because he's like, I can get into places, if you know what I mean.
You know what I mean.
And they're like Lothar's ship.
Yeah, like Lothar's spaceship. He's like, yeah, that's the one place that I can get into. I only have the codes for one place. It's never brought up why this could be a good plan. Except assassinate Lothar.
They want to kill Lothar.
Yeah. But there's no other real purpose of going up there, right? Except to, like, maybe we can mess with their stuff so they can't make bad guys big anymore.
Well, if you open up the consoles and rip all the wires out,
then it's useless.
Then the squid ship would just crash, right?
I mean, it's in space, so it's...
But it's in... orbit. I guess it would just stay in orbit, but they wouldn't be able. They would not be able to leave if they wanted to.
Maybe it would just flip upside down and the gravity would turn off. And that would be pretty bad for everybody, I think.
Yeah, because they're definitely in some artificial gravity up there.
They gotta be. I mean, we all know the space has both air and gravity and Power Rangers, so maybe it's fine.
I mean, that's true. You can breathe on a surfboard in space. So.
Yeah, so if you're a kid or a turtle, nobody else we saw, but those are the two things. So he's like, yeah, I'm defecting. I want payback. And they're like, cool, cool, cool. We cut to Shane, who comes in to Storm Chargers. Dustin's behind the counter. Shane comes in. He's like, hey, what did I just see Tori doing? And she's like, and Dustin's like, loading my pride and joy into her van. And Shane's like, yeah, why? You never even let me ride that thing. And Dustin goes, well, she hits harder. And Shane goes, that's a good point.
He cringes like he remembers being hit by her.
Like he has gotten a smack upside the head. And he's like, you are correct.
Or just like a punch in the shoulder. And he was like, right. I have never been able to lift anything since then.
She has small hands, but it can cut right through your muscles to your bones. Right. She can punch you right between your plates.
But yeah, she knows all the ninja points.
Exactly.
To punch.
All the good places to punch that they teach you in ninja school. So then we cut to Tori tearing it up on a wet dirt bike area. It's not a track. It's like a wet hill.
Like a path or trail.
Yeah. It's like a beach kind of, but then it leads into like the woods. And then up comes another blue guy and he's doing wheelies and just getting right up on her and like basically trying to get her in the wall.
She didn't figure out who it was.
No, well, look, he's got a mask on.
You're right. It could be any dark blue dirt biker.
Anybody. Look, it's a very common color, Josh. Anyway, she hits some pucker brush and goes ass over tea kettle. She lands and she like gets up. She's like, hey, what the hell, man? What are you doing? And then Blake takes his helmet off because obviously. And he's like, I'm Blake. And she's like, oh, hi. I thought you might have been a monster or something, which is not unwarranted, right?
It's not, because she's like, I thought you were one of Lothar's guys or something. And he's like, when have they ever been on dirt bikes? To which she goes, well, you never know.
Not yet, but
also,
like...
Also, Piranatrons definitely were on dirt bikes.
Oh, yeah.
So Mooks can do it.
There's precedent. They do some flirting. They do some, like actual... factual flirting here, because she's like, yeah, where have you been? And he's like, oh, you missed me, huh? And she's like, no, but she smiles when she says it. And he's like, you missed me.
She turns away and she's like, actually, I hate you and I'm never talking to you again. But she's like smirking the whole time.
Her voice, like the tone of her voice, is just so happy to see him because she's 17 and her crush is back, and it's very cute. And he's like, hey, we got a thing we need to talk to you about Lothar's ship.
It's like, I got the key to Lothar's place, so party tonight.
Do you want to party there? In 6 years, LMFAO is going to release the best party rock song. So maybe they have that in space already. Who knows? So we cut to Ninja Ops real quick, where Tori tells everybody the plan, and they're like, "Well, this is seems dumb." And she's like, "Well, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to go up there, do some recon, and then they're going to come back if they need backup for us." And they're like, "Okay, well, that's not a bad plan." And Dustin's like, "Yeah, especially because you're going to need time to fix my bike." And she's like, "It's not very broken." He's like, "The fender is on backwards." She's like, "You got me."
She did crash right into a whole log.
She just hit a whole ass log and stopped her bike at a dead stop.
She's lucky that front tire's not completely bent in.
Right? So then we cut up to the Thunder Rangers. They teleport onto the ship. Not morphed, just in regular ninja outfits.
Yeah, and Tubes comes up and is like, "Hey," and they almost kill him.
Yeah, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "We're ninjas, don't sneak up on us." Come on, Jubo.
So Jubo's like, "Yeah, Lothar is sleeping over in here in his throne.
He's taking a nap. So we can go slit his throat or poison him or something. I don't know what the plan is."
I guess just like stab him in the heart.
This definitely crosses the "they're just doing recon" line, right? Because if they were just looking around, they'd be like, "Good, he's sleeping there. Let's go somewhere else and look at stuff."
It's weird because they sneak in and they go up to him. And I do want to say this about Lothar and I guess Sensei's actual actor.
Yeah.
Is that
they give 110%.
They give 110%. They're great. And I do mean this in the nicest way. But dude has the floppiest mouth I've ever seen.
Oh, it's a floppy. He's doing like a... when he's like snoring.
Yeah.
And it is the hammiest, most over. That should have been a dead giveaway that what's about to happen is about to happen.
Yeah, he's like a child pretending to sleep.
Yeah, he might as well be saying honk shoe when
they think they're nailing it, but any grown up is like, "That kid is awake."
You are a faker. You're an idiot baby lying to me. That's what you're doing.
So we get the extreme close-up on his face, and he, like, sits up and tilts his head, and he's like, "Gotcha!"
He's like, "Waha!"
And then he stabs the Thunder Rangers in the heart.
And then they die, and the Return of the Thunder is actually a one-parter, and it's over, and the rest of the series is going to be kind of sad and weird. No, they basically do a tiny fight with the Zackies, and they get shot back, like, pushed back into, like, a little area. Like an open space. And he's like, "Hit the button, hit the beam." So they hit a button and this like light beam comes down, but it's also a net that freezes them in time and space. It's a lot going. This one button has a lot of uses.
And so I feel like they did it, right? Like they got him.
Yeah.
And then Lothar looks at Jubo and is like, "Now what?" And Chubo's like, I thought this was it. I thought we did it.
He's like, "Well, I got him here. And also, I'm coming up on overtime as is." Because, again, he is in a union.
He's got to get his union jokes in.
Yeah, which is weird, and I kind of love it. Also, right before they get frozen, they say that Lothar's like, "Never trust an evil space ninja." Which is, I think, just good advice.
It's good life advice, yeah.
Just a good life advice. So then he promotes Jubo, and he's like, "Good, what's the plan? What's the rest of it?" Jubo does not know. But then he's like, what if we turn them into, promotes them to general, by the way. Well, he's like, Jubo's like, "What if?"
Promotes him to general, and both Mara and Capri
are like, "Is he actually hot?"
Yeah.
Though? You know, hey, how I've always thought that General Jubo's really hot?
I think Jubo is going to get it. I think
so. I mean, later on, we will see Mara getting all fancy. Yeah. So. Capri's like, "Back off. He's mine and I don't share." Even though they've never once looked at him in anything but contempt before this.
Well, yeah, but now he has power and presumably riches.
Probably, you know, first you get the khakis, then you get the jobs, then you get the chicks. So he's like, "What if we stuff the Power Rangers with candy, turn them into," and I wrote this down phonetically, "pinyarders."
I love a pinyarder.
Love a good pinyarder. And they're like, "That plan is bad, but we're going to put it on the back burner. Is there anything else maybe we could do?" And Jubo's like, "What if we, I don't know, like erase their memories and make them think the Wind Rangers are like their mortal enemies." And Lothar's like, "Hey, that actually is a good idea. Let's do that."
And Zergain is like, "No, that sucks. Let's just shoot them into space," which is a also a good idea.
Yeah.
To just shoot your enemies into space if you have that option.
Yeah. You're already there. You just open up a door and push them out, really.
But Lothar is like, no, shut up.
No, Zergain, you idiot. You buffoon.
We're going to use Chubo's plan because he's the general now.
Yeah. You're just a captain.
A constable?
He's a constable, I think.
Constable Zergain.
That's him. So I was kind of pulling for the Pinyarder plan, but here we are. So then we cut down to Storm Chargers. Dustin comes in. He sees Blake and Hunter talking to Roger Hannah. And Dustin's like, oh, you signed with Factory Blue. That's dope. Way to go. And they're like, yeah, we need to leave, though, right now, Dustin. And he's like, do you y'all want to hang out? Like, I got some new bike part that I want to show you. And they're like, no, we have to leave. And he's like, also, shouldn't we talk about, like, the other thing? And they're like, bah. Also, and they walk out of the door.
The whole time that he's talking to them, Kelly is in the background.
Yep.
And he's like, shouldn't we talk about, like, the other stuff? Her head, like, perks up.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, you mean the Power Rangers, though?
Because she doesn't want to pry, but she does want that goss, right? She yeah. just wants to be privy to the information.
She's like, I'm not going to tell anybody, but I do want to write about it in my diary.
I do want to maybe write a book about it for when this is all over. I don't know. Then we cut to Ninja Ops, where Shane and Tori are just, like, sparring, and they're talking about Blake and Hunter and stuff. I don't remember exactly what, but yeah, they're just, like, doing, like, little casual sparring in the hallway.
Because there was a scene earlier where they went back here, and they were talking to Sensei about what Tori and Blake talked about.
Yeah, and Cam was also there.
And Cam was there, and they were like, Sensei was like, that's too easy.
Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't go because he's going to murder them up there.
Yeah, and that's what he's like. Well, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to do recon. But then they immediately went to do something, and then it all went to hell like everyone thought it would. Then Dustin comes in. He's like, oh, you're talking about Blake and Hunter? You guys might want to rethink them being cool guys. And they're like, what do you mean? And he's like, they just wicked blew me off like old times. Like, it was deja vu all over again. And Cam's like, that's not how that works.
That's actually impossible. And Dustin's like, whatever, Cam.
Whatever, Cam. Go inside. Go out to play Oregon Trail or whatever. Then they're like, well, speaking of old times, there's a monster attacking somewhere, so we need to go. And then Tori says maybe my favorite thing of the episode, which is, do you want to say it or should I? To Shane.
Yeah. Are you going to be the leader or am I going to keep doing it?
Yeah. And he's like, I guess I'll take this one. I really like it. I really like that they are like, we're all a team. There's not really a leader.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to say it this time? So they morph. They teleport down. There's no alien there. There's no baddie. But there is some nasty smog.
Yeah. So yeah, they get there and there's no... They just watched a monster on the viewing
screen.
They saw
it. Yeah.
And they get there and he's not there. And Shane's like, where is he? He's not here. And then Dustin goes, it's not hot.
There's no Hulkamaniacs here. I've never been here before.
And Tori's like, I don't want to say it, but this is how it always starts.
She's like, shouldn't we stop being surprised by this?
And then they all get slashed by a disembodied hand.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, there he is.
Because they all get slashed and knocked down, but then the monster walks in from off screen. So I don't know how he slashed them with his hand.
With his long snail
from
hands.
Inside the building, behind all the barrels.
I think it was the stink fog. Hit them.
This Mega Man villain is the Stinky Snail.
This is Stinky Snail. He's a snail. I think his design is pretty cool. It's like a cool way to do a snail bad guy.
Yeah, I do like it.
But then he just talks about his farts and bad breath and how he stinks a lot. So they do a fight. Before they do a fight, the Thunder Rangers are like on the top of the Stink Factory Tower. I don't know where they are.
It's probably like a sewage treatment plant.
That makes sense.
That would be his Mega Man level.
Oh, for sure. And they're like, there they are. All right, blast them. So they blast the Power Rangers with lightning. And they're like, what are you doing? Stop it. So they get into a fight. Blake and Shane pair off. And they're fighting. Dustin and Hunter are fighting. Hunter goes to like slash Dustin down the middle. And he splits into two, which is a cool ninja trick. And I really like it. I like that they're doing ninja tricks again. Yeah, I watched all of Kaku Ranger, and it was very, very good for the ninja trick stuff.
This is like the entirety of all the cool stuff from season three, but it's a whole season.
Yeah. So they fight. Then Hunter does the thing where he gets giant, like, by himself. But that was a ninja trick, it turns out. Tori goes to splash him with water, but that gets rebounded with the when he pulls out the trampoline shield that he has.
The thunder shield. The I'm rubber, you're glue shield.
Yes, and it does bounce off him and sticks to her, but it's water, so it's, you know. This is when Stink Snail joins the fight again. He was just kind of standing to the side, and he attacks them. And as they're like, we need to get out of here. Like, we're not, this is not going so hot for us. So they go to run. Blake and Hunter go to chase, but then Blake has, like, I'm calling it a head attack. Like, it's like a heart attack, but his brain. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, something is bad.
Yeah. It's weird. I couldn't tell if that was in the source footage or not, the Sentai footage. But it's weird because it only is to, like, get them away from the fight for a minute so the Rangers can fight Stinky Snail.
Yeah, it's just basically to separate them because Hunter's like, come on, we got to go. And Blake's like, I cannot do that. My head hurt bad. They catch up to Stinky Snail. They get gas blasted, but he's on like a balcony, and they just taunt him until he comes down to fight them. And he's like, I'm going to stink this whole place up. Here's my bad breath attack. And then they are like, well, we're the Wind Rangers, so they just start spinning in a circle, and it blasts a bunch of trash and boxes and stuff at him. He's like, I'm the one who does this.
They just spin in a circle. They form a brand new human chain.
They do.
Because they link arms in there's only three of them, so in a triangle fashion.
In a human triangle.
And then they just spin around like the center of a washing machine.
Yeah, like they're back to back to back, arms linked, and they're spinning around, and it is like a reverse vacuum. It just blasts all the air out.
I think that's called a fan.
I'm pretty sure it's a reverse vacuum.
You're right.
Actually, you're Josh, right. I don't want to. I'm actually you, but it's a reverse vacuum is the technical term for it.
Thank you for Jake explaining it to me.
That's when you're actively wrong about something and you're like, oh, I'm pretty sure I'm right. No, I know you know the way, but I think I might know the way to go. So I'm going to tell you that I think we're lost, even though it's just me that's lost. Which is an experience all my friends have had. Is me going, this is not where we're supposed to be. And then we turn a corner and we're where we're supposed to be. And I'm like, okay, you got me. Never mind.
I will do this again.
it will happen again. So they spin to win. He is knocked back. Shane does his like powered up sword attack. They pull out Storm Striker. They blow him up. This is when Lothar's like, ah, beans. So AOL instant message him big again. So he grows. They jump right to Megazords. We don't even see like the whole portal thing. We are at the point in the series where they're like, just put him in the Megazord.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot to do this episode. So
there is still like a bit more.
We do get a little bit of the butt rock montage.
Yeah. Can I tell you that I hate the butt rock? And I'm every time the theme song shows up to like cut the butt rock out, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, because it's not even that charming Ron Wasserman.
No, butt it's rock. Like 2003. Like, what is. I can't think of anybody. What's Static X doing right now? Let's make a song that sounds like Static X. Hey, let's make this. What if this. What if Power Man 5000 did a quick soundtrack drop for Power Rangers? And it was.
Man.
Bad is the answer.
What a time.
Right?
What a time that was.
Was Power Man 5000 the... No, that was Union Underground, did the Raw theme song for a while.
Yeah, Power Man 5000 did Worlds Collide.
Yes. That was on a Tony Hawk, wasn't it?
Oh, of course it was.
I felt like that was on a Tony Hawk.
I think it was in their contract that it had to be in a Tony Hawk.
Power Man 5000 also did something else that I am familiar with because I have two points of reference, but the other one has eroded away, and I do not remember what it is.
I know they did a cover song, but I could not tell you what it was.
Well, I'm not going to Google it because I don't want to poison my internet history with that.
Because I'm thinking, and I know that was not Power Man 5000, of Blue Monday by Orgy, which is another band of the time.
Yeah, yep.
And that was not Power. I thought maybe that was it, but that's not it, because then I remembered it was Orgy.
It was Orgy instead.
An actual band that was on TV named Orgy.
You could watch them at 4 p.m. on MTV during their video blog. Anyway, so Stinky Snail can go in his shell like a snail can. Eventually, they just go into lightning mode, and then they beat him up, mostly. The Thunder Rangers show up in their Zords, and they go to attack, but then they start having memories, and they stop.
When they're in their Lightning Thunder or Lightning Storm Megazord or whatever it is.
Lightning mode?
Yeah. They do this, like, cartwheel gyroscope attack.
Yeah, they've done it before.
Have they?
Yeah.
Down the ramp and everything?
Yep. Yeah.
Don't know how I missed that before.
I mean, we talked about it. You probably just forgot.
I don't remember the big ramp that they rolled
down.
Yeah,
there was a whole thing. Yeah, it's because it's like a carnival ride.
It's weird that they managed to do all of this in that big giant robot in 60 seconds or less.
I know.
In the time it takes to run the slopstacle course.
Well, first you gotta grab the flag from up the nose, and you gotta slide through the bed, then you gotta jump in the giant pizza.
And then you gotta hit the big soda fountain, but you gotta hit the right one.
Then there's a bike connected to a water wheel that will drop slime on you. Eventually the flag will be in that slime if you pedal hard enough. Then we're going to just throw raw eggs at you for a minute, and I hope one of them has a flag in it.
And then you got to jump into the big teeth and slide down its throat.
Slide down the vor.
Oh, yeah, you got to vor yourself, and then there's a flag hidden in the pile of ice cream at the end.
Yeah, and then, you know, then there's a hamster wheel, and then you get out, and then you get turned into Space Camp.
I think Double Dare gave you Universal Studios.
Oh, it's way cooler than that space camp. It was like a space camp in Georgia. Like, it's just like, yeah, in the boonies. They're like, it's like mostly a camp, but we will talk about space while you're making lanyards or whatever.
We'll spin you around in a gyroscope and, like, feed you that freeze-dried ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, space camp.
Space camp.
But they're having memories. They're like, why are we doing this? Why are we attacking? And then Jubo's like, uh-oh. And he hits the button again. And they're like, ah, what are we thinking? We need to kill him. And then that fixes them. So they do the serpent sword on Stinky Snail. He dies, as you might imagine. The Beetle Zord, I don't know what they're the Thunder Megazord, I guess, is what they call it, even though
that is
a thing.
I think it's the Big Bad Beetle Zord.
The Big Bad Beetle Zord versus the regular Ninja Megazord.
Yeah, because when they come out in their ATVs, Shane's like, oh, the bugs are back.
Yeah. Those things rule, actually.
They're really cool.
They look dope.
All the Zords so far are pretty cool.
Yeah. They pop out their own little, like, gachapon thing, and they still have the, like, windmill axe that they stole from a couple episodes ago. So they clash, and this is when Jubo's like, now for the real plan, and he hits a button, and it zaps them. And their Megazord shut down, and they disappear.
He tells them, he's like, hey, you guys are going to be on the beach now. And then he hits a button. And
he says it like it's a pun that I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't. Life's a beach, man.
There it is.
He hits a button, and the shell of Stinky Snail rises into the air, spins around, and, like, pops. It doesn't explode because it, like, bubbles up and pops.
It's so weird.
And then that teleports them all out of the Megazord somehow.
We cut to I don't know if we cut to Cam first or we cut back to the ship first, because Cam's like, I can't find them, they're just gone.
Yeah, he's like, the Megazord's offline because nobody's piloting it, and I don't know where they went.
We cut up to Lothar's ship, and Capri, like, sidles up to Jubo. She's like, hey, there's a UFO movie. That's a weird way to say that, Capri. She's like, there's a UFO movie at the multiplex. Do you want to go and make out or whatever? And he's like, oh, I actually already have a date. And she's like, what? Who? And then we cut to Mara just getting all pretty, like, spraying herself with perfume.
Her hair's down in, like, a nice braid.
It's like in a braid, but there's, like, a side bit. It's very cute.
Yeah. She's looking good.
And then Capri's like, Mara! and then we cut away to Shane, who wakes up on a beach and there's nobody here. There's like some yellow smoke coming out of something. It's foggy. And he stands up, he looks around, and then the camera zooms up to the top, like out into space, and to show that he's on a little bitty island.
He's on, I don't think it was Earth he was on, because when it zoomed out, it was like a water world with this one little island on it.
That might have been for effect. I think he is still on Earth. He's just on Castaway Island.
Okay.
But maybe he's not.
Well, watch out for Wilson. Well, I took it as they all got teleported to their own beach planets.
That may
Shane's
be.
The only one here.
Yeah. So unless there's like, you know, he runs into someone else in the next episode. But that's the end. It says to be continued. He's like, where am I? And then it's like, well, I don't know. See you later.
Now he has to fight Goldar by himself without a morpher.
Ninja Rangers. I don't know what he would... Shane, you can't skateboard your way out of this one, Shane. Tony Hawk can't save you now, Chad Muska.
You can take that pop and shove it.
But that is the end of the episode. Josh, you started. I get to do the first best. I'm going to say the first best is just extremely teenager Tori. Just her being like really like in puppy love.
Yeah.
I think it's very cute and sweet and pretty well done.
I agree. Because like from that moment where she's like, do you want to go there? Which was just like such a perfect like, oh, hey, that's like an important guy for you to... Don't you ever talk to me that way.
Yeah.
It was just like a snap and she was there.
Dude, here's a line and you are stepping on it. Do not cross it.
She's like, I'm going to go ride your bike now. Because you were kind of a dink, even if you didn't realize it.
And then when Blake shows up, she's like, I'm actually very mad at you. I'm never speaking to you again. It's very cute. It's all cute. The worst is...
I think the worst is the Thunder Rangers going onto Lothor's ship with no real plan.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
And also, like, believing Chubo that he was, like... Because Chubo made it sound like he was, like, the leader of this new resistance against Lothor from the inside. I think he even at one point called it Bitter X.
Yeah.
They were dumb. The Thunder Rangers were big dummies.
The thing is... that we've seen him get, like, dunked on for 7 episodes now, basically. So, it's believable, but at the same time, I feel like you should trust but verify.
If you're gonna get on the ship, it's like, have a plan for when you get there. At least be a Power Ranger when you get there.
Be morphed, yeah. Like, I know you sneak around better in your ninja outfits, but they didn't. They walked into the next room, and that was it. I think I'm also going to say that. MVP, I'm going to say, is Dustin.
I think so. I think I agree with that. This is sort of a Dustin spotlight.
As much as a team episode can have like a spotlight of character,
I guess it's more of like a Dustin and Tori. And the next one is definitely leading into Shane, I think.
Yeah. I really like Shane in this one. I think Shane, came back around to that, like, cool, like, in the first episode, like, that's kind of, he was, like, cool, and then, like, the pressure of everything kind of got to him, and he was kind of really lame for a couple episodes, but I think he's getting back to a good spot, and I really liked him, especially when he's, like, oh, yeah, she does hit very hard, like, good point. That was good stuff, so I'm excited to see, like, a good Shane spotlight next time.
Because even when they went back to tell Sensei about how Blake and Hunter were, like, going to infiltrate the squid ship or whatever...
Yeah.
Before Shane is like, well, doesn't that seem like that came a little too easy? And then the sensei is like, yeah, way too simple.
Yeah, way too easy. Yeah. You're good call, Shane. But yeah, I think Dustin overall did a lot of good work. Dustin rules.
I like Dustin a lot.
When we do our Ranger rankings at the end, I think this is the first time we're going to have a lot of people above the halfway mark in a while.
I can think of 4. Yeah.
Yep. We'll see where the season goes.
Yeah.
Now we got to rank it. I mean, we got to do like a tentative ranking because it's part 1 of 4. But in order to like keep our thoughts consistent, we are putting them in such a way. We're just like, this is where it's going to sit now.
Is this better than Nowhere to Grow?
I don't know. I think maybe.
What happened in that one?
The plant lady with regular voice.
Plant lady with regular voice that plant I just like. I could never remember until I'm told about her.
It's because she had a regular human voice.
Yeah.
Which is weird. There's a lot of cam stuff in that one.
Stinky Snail did have a good filter on him.
He did, yeah. I think it's better than Nowhere to Grow.
I think so. I don't think it's better than Thunder Strangers, though.
No. So we're just going to put Return of Thunder Part 1 tentatively at number 3. And we will see how this all shakes out by the end of the week, because tomorrow...
I just got so tired when you said that.
Tomorrow, Part 2 is going to go out. And then Wednesday, there probably won't be one. And then Thursday and Friday, tentatively, it might be Friday and Saturday that the other two parts come out. So get ready for that. I'm certainly not, but we'll burn that bridge when we get there.
I am very curious to see where the next episode goes.
Yeah, because this episode, it did the thing that like the first, or it was either the first or the second or third part of the Return of Thunder thing did, where
that's
it's its
one.
Own episode.
This one's Return of Thunder.
I mean Thunder Strangers. You know what I mean. It did the same thing as that one, where it's like it's its own episode, but then like has like a bigger thing to it.
Yeah, there's a hook at the end that like links it into the next one.
Without it just being like, and the episode's over, and then next time we're going to be on an island. They're, like, it leads very well, so I'm really excited to see how we transition, because it's like the best multi-parters are ones that just flow nicely.
Yeah.
And aren't just like, and now time for them to be in a spooky house for an episode where they will start in the basement and end in the basement, and then we can finish it up in the third part.
Oh, boy.
So here's hoping they stick the landing. I have faith in them to do that. We'll find that out tomorrow. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Three, two, one.
Ninja Storm Ranger form.
I panicked.